بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين أما بعد My respected and honorable friends, let us correct our intention that we are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to learn in order to attain the reward of performing 1,000 rakats of nafal salah, which has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get this magnitude of reward, let each one of us intend with sincerity from the bottom of our hearts. My dear respected friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have trillions and trillions of servants on the surface of the earth right now. But how many of these servants are obedient to Allah? And how many of these servants worship Allah? Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has millions of followers living right now on the surface of the earth. But how many of these millions of followers of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam are following his sunnah and worshipping Allah the way they are supposed to be worshipped? My dear respected friends, we should make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are from the few fortunate ones that Allah had given us the tawfiq to sit for itikaf, be here in the masjid, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn the deen, to make his zikr, to read the Quran, and many, many other ibadat we are making, which many, many people in many, many countries will be surprised, my dear respected friends, that people don't even fast. Leave aside going to the masjid and reading the salah. So we should be thankful, and when we are thankful to Allah, Allah will always increase and give us more, like Allah has promised in the Quran al-Kareem. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَذِيدَنَّكُمْ That if you make my shukr, I will give you more. So let us keep on making shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every bounty that Allah ta'ala has bestowed upon us. My dear respected friends, to get to the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very easy. 2 steps only. Only 2 steps to be taken. Those 2 steps are, the first one is to correct your intention in all your worship of Allah. And the second one is to go against your carnal desires. We master these 2 things. The next step is in the court of Allah. Sounds easy, but difficult to do. 2 easy things, but very difficult to do. Need a lot of concentration to do these 2 things. My dear respected friends, with all our du'as that we are making during the month of Ramadan, out of Ramadan, we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and good fortune. For a lot of brothers here, listen to a lot of the talks, listen to a lot of significances and virtues of making and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a great rewards kept for it. But they do not get the tawfiq to do it. They know about it, they hear it, but that is just as far as they go. They can't go further than that. Because we need the tawfiq of Allah. So let us keep on asking Allah Ta'ala for tawfiq and ask Allah Ta'ala for guidance. For tawfiq and guidance come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is in no man's hands, including Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hidayat is also not in Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hands. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem. The ayat was revealed to Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt indebted to his uncle Abu Talib. that after his grandfather passed away, Abu Talib looked after him, raised him, got him married. Everything Abu Talib did for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Talib was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father's brother, his real uncle. And he kept on crying just for his uncle to recite the kalima, La ilaha illallah. So on his deathbed, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to him and told him that you are passing from this world now. Recite the kalima, La ilaha illallah. His kuffar companions that were in and around Abu Talib at that time told him that you want to die on the religion of your nephew instead of the religion of your forefathers. And they convinced him not to read that kalima. With the result that Abu Talib passed away without reading the kalima. This grieved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a great extent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat to Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. Yahdi man yasha. That you cannot give hidayat to whom you wish. Allah will give hidayat to whom Allah wishes. So my dear respected friends, hidayat is not in your hands, it is not in my hands, it is in Allah's hands. But it is our job, it is in our hands, yes, to lift our hands and ask for that hidayat, and Allah will definitely give it to us someday or another. But if we make an effort towards that hidayat, inshallah, Allah will then too give us that hidayat. It's senseless listening to a lot of talks into one ear, out of the other ear, is senseless, no benefit in it. But yes, certainly, if it goes into one ear, we try to memorize it, we try to make up a resolution that now we are going to make amal on it, and we make amal. Inshallah, it is hope we will become better Muslims, and we will become pure, clean servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected friends, the two steps. First step, my dear respected friends, is a very, very important step, and that is to correct your intentions. In the course of Ramadan, all of us have heard a lots of virtues, of lot of amals that we do. But all these days we were just doing the amal without knowing its virtue. Now we have learnt it. So it is just best for each one of us that before you start any amal, make the intention. Deep down from your hearts, imano wa ihtisaban. These two words are used in the hadith by Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam looking for the Laylatul Qadr. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you look for Laylatul Qadr, make the intention imano wa ihtisaban. That is with iman and with the aim of attaining its reward. So if there are rewards which you do not know, by reading imano wa ihtisaban, inshallah you will attain the reward of that amal which you do not know what its virtues and significance is. My dear respected friends, making sincere intention from the bottom of our hearts can make a molehill into a mountain in good deeds. We are very, very fast and in a hurry all the time to make to start an amal. We haven't got the time to spend an additional 10, 15, 20, 30 seconds in making intentions, depriving us of the great rewards of the amal that we are doing. Let us find a time of spending the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 seconds in making the intentions. And Allah has favored the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that They may be doing one amal, but if they make many niyats, they will get the reward for every niyat that they make. Like had been mentioned before in the beginning of Ramadan, being mentioned again now, that when you perform your nawafil, always make many intentions, like you went to the toilet, you came, you made wuzu, now you came into the masjid. So you read, make intention of reading 2 rakats of tahiyatul masjid, 2 rakats of tahiyatul wuzu, 2 rakats of salatul shukr, 2 rakats of salatul tawbah, 2 rakats of salatul hajat. You made 5 intentions. You're reading 2 rakats, you made 5 intentions, you get 10 rakats sawab. Allah wants to give us free, but do we want to take it? Likewise, all our amals, we can make many, many intentions. The more intentions we make, the more sawab we get. So my dear respected friends, tomorrow we continue, inshallah, with the topic on intention. And if tomorrow, and not tomorrow, day after tomorrow, or when time permits, on carnal desires. So that we can master which these 2 things are, start working on the 2 of them, and take the 2 steps and get into the court of Allah. My dear respected friends, sorry if I repeat stories here. Like I told you, my memory is gone, my eyesight is gone, my hearing is gone, everything is gone. Soon I'll be also gone. So just bear with me if I'm repeating things over. My dear respected friends, to go against our carnal desires, to go against our nafs, is the only way we can win. It is mentioned in a story here that a sheikh had not eaten a morsel of food for several days. We mashayikh of today must make Allah shukr that we don't have 3 meals a day, we have 30 meals a day. Reminds me of a quotation our spiritual mentor, the sheikh Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, always used to make. He used to say, you cannot become a sheikh until when you can't eat 60 invitations a day. 60 dawats a day, Allahu Akbar. So my dear respected friends, we should make the shukr that we got enough food, not only the sheikh, but the murids also. Further, it is written that he was overcome with weakness. Yes, definitely you don't eat food, you become weak. A murid visiting him observed the effects of starvation on his sheikh. The murid quickly departed and returned with a tray laden with food. However, the sheikh declined to accept the gift. Must be some sheikh, this young. Chow come for his way and he didn't eat many days, he's still refusing. Are you and me going to do it, brothers? Let's think. The murid said, Hazrat, this is a gift which I am presenting to you without you having requested. Do accept it. The sheikh said, undoubtedly, this is a gift which you have presented with sincerity. But accepting at this juncture will be in conflict with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever is presented to you without your anticipation, accept it. This expectation of the nafs is termed Israful Nafs. Today, this gift arrived after Israful Nafs. When you had departed, I understood that you would be going to procure food for me. My nafs had therefore anticipated that you would return with the food. Now, while we had this story, Ustad did very briefly explain the other day, but very briefly, not in detail, on this hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever is presented to you without your anticipation, accept it. It also goes further, the story which Ustad was mentioning to you people, that once there was a great shortage of tea in India. No tea leaves were found in a hurry. A murid came to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi and presented to him tea leaves. At that time, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi was sitting in a majlis, and next to him was his uncle, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, the founder of the Tablighi Jamaat. So when this murid presented the tea, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi told him, "I don't make people murid for tea. Take it, I don't want it." So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi's uncle, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, quietly told him in his ears, "Bhai, what you get without asking, and if you refuse, you will not even get it with asking. So a gift comes your way without asking, and if you refuse, you can make dua and ask Allah for that thing, you are not going to get it." That is what is called the istighrab, the hands of the unseen. When things come your way without asking for it, it is Allah that puts it into the heart of the person to give it to you. But here it is that your heart desires for something, that this person is a person that sells fruit. So when you see him, you say, "Hey man, this murid, he sells fruit, I'm going to get fruit from him." That's a different story now. To take that fruit is what this hadith speaks about, and the story speaks about. Now the story doesn't end here. We need clever murids, we don't need stupid murids. Now see the cleverness of this murid. That the sheikh didn't accept it, and the sheikh didn't want to eat it. He never get angry, he never saw the sheikh, he never go behind the back and talk bad about the sheikh, which is the norm today, that if things don't go according to the murid's taste, then the sheikh is bad. Nobody will stand up and say that I am wrong, I made the mistake. Always blaming it onto the bellboy. That is one habit we have to get out of ourselves, my dear respected friends. If we don't get that habit out of ourselves, how do we lift our hands and ask Allah? When the first condition is to tell Allah that I confess I have made a mistake, I have committed a wrong, I have committed an evil, I have committed a sin. If you can't do the first step, how can you do the second step and further ahead? Therefore, learn with others, firstly, to accept your mistake. My dear respected friends, now see how intelligent this murid is. Further, the story says, where we got lost from. The murid was sincere and intelligent. Without saying a word, he left with a tray of food. He did not insist on his sheikh to accept the gift. He did not resort to interpretations in the face of the hadith and the order of his sheikh. Today you will find many, many people amongst our circle also, amongst the murids also. Tell them something, that my friend, you are doing this wrong. They'll find 10 excuses and take it out. That it is done because of this and because of this and because of this. Why? Because such people are termed by the Arabs as Akbar min Allah. That they are even bigger than Allah. They make no mistakes. They make no wrongs. Anything you tell them, "I did it right. And this is why I did it," will never say, "Sorry, I will repent, or I'll correct my way, I will do it the right way." Never ever. Always will find an excuse. That is very detrimental, for it shows the pride within yourself, and you, I, and everybody know what pride did to Shaitan, took the slippery path to hell. So do we want to take the same path like shaitan, telling Allah, "Ana khayrum minhu," I am better than him. In other words, did not make sijda to Adam alayhi salam, saying, "I'm better than him. You have created me from fire, you have created him from sand." Are we going to have the same notion? So come, let us change, my dear respected friend. Somebody tell us, advise us, let's accept it and say sorry. We will remedy ourselves. Right? This murid nicely walked away with the tray. Didn't speak anything, didn't say anything. After a short while, the murid returned with a tray of food, presenting it to the sheikh and said, "Hazrat, now there was no israfun nafs, therefore accept it." The sheikh happily accepted the food. When the murid had left with the food, all thought of the food had been forgotten. So when the murid came with the tray the first time, the sheikh didn't accept it and he walked away. The sheikh had absolutely no idea that this murid is going to return with that tray of food. So there is no israfun nafs in it. The sheikh did not accept the murid to return, hence on this occasion, there was no elements of israfun nafs. This episode illustrates the meaning of taqwa and the importance of devotion to the sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected friends, we learn many lessons in these ta'alims, but I don't know if we make amal on them or not. Sometimes it is just absolutely useless to listen if we don't make any amals. So let us make a resolution that inshallah by listening to these stories, we will make amal and we become better Muslims in the eyes of Allah, and we will follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will build our paradise while we are living here in this world. My dear respected friends, now we go and discuss a little about the virtues of the Quran, so we can read the Quran Kareem every day. It is stated in a hadith that while Hazrat Usaid bin Huzair was reciting the Quran, he felt a sort of cloud spread over him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him that these were angels who had gathered to listen to the recitation of the Quran. Due to the great multitude, they appeared to be a cloud. My dear respected friends, if we also read the Quran for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is mentioned in the hadith that there are angels that roam the surface of the earth. When they hear the zikrs of Allah, they call other angels and say, "Come, there is food for us." And they come to this gathering. And in this such gathering, the Sakina descends on that gathering. And Sakina is that same thing that is being spoken about, Nur from the throne of Allah, but in a different magnitude. So my dear respected friends, try and read two and three people together the Quran. Inshallah, even reading it alone, the angels will come and listen to you. Another hadith mentions that Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala reported that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You cannot turn to Allah and gain nearness to him without anything superior to that which directly proceeds from him, and that is the Holy Quran." Because these are the spoken words of Allah. And you are reading that very spoken words, and these spoken words, there is nothing better that can make you reach directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, my dear respected friends, read the Quran Kareem excessively during the month of Ramadan with the correct intentions, and inshallah, slowly, slowly, you will reach that recognition of Allah. The next one is, the Quran was revealed to us to do good actions and forbid evil. So, with the recitation of the Quran, my dear respected friends, let us make that intention also, that by reading the Quran, O Allah, give us the tawfiq to do good and the tawfiq to stay away from evil. We will continue with this aspect on the recitation of the Quran tomorrow, inshallah, if Allah wills. Now we speak on the zikr. Why importance of zikr? Why we should be making a lot of zikr? Why we should spending all our time in the zikr? It is mentioned, these are all extracted from ahadith, but we just brought it into short forms. Zikr opens the door of ma'rifat, that is the recognition of Allah. It is the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Almighty Allah says, in other words, it's a hadith Qudsi, I treat my slaves according to his expectation from me, and I am with him when he remembers me. So if we want Allah to be with us, let us at all times remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making his zikr. For Allah also tells us in the Quran, فَاسْكُرُنِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me and I will remember you. Now we go to the aspect of dua. My dear respected friends, dua is a weapon of a Muslim. The more dua we make, the closer we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala reported that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dua of a mu'min, a dua of a Muslim for his Muslim brother who is absent is accepted. There is an angel commission near his head. When he invokes for good of his brother, the commission angel near him says, be it so, and for you the like reward. It's a hadith of Muslim. This hadith shows to us that we should be making dua for our Muslim brothers also, especially in their absence. It was the early feeling of our spiritual mentor, Hazrat Shaykh Mulana Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, in his end life, that all his murideen should make a lot of dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is only in his silsila and tariqa that you find muraqabai du'aiya, which we are doing just before breaking the fast, Maghrib time. No other silsila has this muraqabai du'aiya. Because he was instructed by Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell his murideens to make dua for the ummah. So please, all of you also make dua for the ummah. If you make dua for the ummah, then inshallah it is hope that Allah Ta'ala's special attention and Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attention will come on you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you, me and all the Muslims, the tawfiq to make excessive dua, and especially for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir dawana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.